The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Mike Polin. Mike is a director within strategic operations at CGI Federal. Mike's portfolio includes CGI's family of IDIQ contracts and GWACs serving the federal government. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, Roger, thanks for having me. Well, great to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Our topic today is open collaboration communication between government and industry and where it's going, the status of it, why it's important, all those sort of things. And Mike, can't think of a better person to have on the show to talk about it. Mike, last year, 2015, received Excellence in Partnership honor from the Coalition for Government Procurement for Mythbusters, that focus on communication, collaboration between government and industry. So, Mike, it's great to have you on the show, and let's get started. So first of all, I think we need to set the stage and talk about why is collaboration, communication between government and industry so important? Just the fundamental piece there, and then we'll go from there.
Well, Roger, there's no real simple answer to that, so this may be a little bit of a long explanation of why I think it's important for collaboration between government and industry. Imagine, if you will, if you wanted to build something, anything you want. Just right. Imagine it in your head that you want to go build a home, or you want to go build an aircraft carrier, or you want to go build an IT system to support your operations within government. And you have it in your mind what you want to build, and then you want support from some organization to come help you with that. How else will you define what you want in that system, that ship, that house, whatever it was, without having some type of dialogue to identify many things about that? What are the most recent best practices for shipbuilding or for new IT systems? What's the best approach to get what I need? How can we get there in a timely manner? How can we get through the entire process? What do we have to do to get set up and staged to make that happen? Now, the current approach will be to write that down, put it in an RFP, and ask industry to respond to the requirements that you have relative to that happening. There's only so much that we can put in an RFP to describe what that is, and there's only so much understanding industry can get from an RFP about what you really want to do. Where do you want to take it in the future? If we think back many, many years ago, and this may not work for everybody listening today,
Mike, don't show your age now.
Maybe you remember a program called Star Trek.
Oh, yes, I do.
You remember Star Trek?
Yes, I do.
Remember Captain Kirk and the USS Enterprise and all those places?
Yeah, I'm more partial to Captain Picard.
Oh, okay. Any one of those. Well, if you were in that time frame, you showed up and you're the new Captain Kirk taking over the helm, and now one of your support individuals hands you your new communicator. Your new communicator, if you can visualize it, if you saw any of the shows, was essentially a flip phone.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if you showed up new in your workplace today at the government and I handed you a flip phone and say, here's your new technology in order to do your job, because these were my requirements. This is a way to communicate. This is my ability. But now, in that day, it was something so far off into the future that we couldn't even imagine what it would have been like or could have done. But today, if I hand you a flip phone, you would say, what am I supposed to do with whatever this thing is? Because now I'm used to Bluetooth. I'm used to wireless connected devices. I'm used to having technology at my fingertips. And now you've given me something that I don't want. And that's the kind of environment. If we don't have communications, if we don't understand each other and our requirements, if we don't get to a place where we can fully describe what that communications device is, in a fair and open way amongst multiple people. I'm not talking in such a way to give a strategic or competitive advantage to a person who will potentially become an offeror, but we have some processes in place, and we try to get some of that. We put out RFIs. We put out special notices. We communicate only by paper in a lot of sense. We have one-way industry days when we're ready to go, where they tell industry what they want, and then we're done, and we think we've done a good job at it. But when we get into the environment of the future, if we're not openly collaborating, not communicating, collaborating, working together, figuring out price, both everything from the price to the final end resulted quality product and excellent services that go with that, we're never going to be anywhere. We're going to be in a situation where employees are going to show up to work with the government and say, I don't want to work here. I can't work with whatever that thing is you're handing me. I can't work in an environment where I can't be mobile. I can't get to the technology I want. I can't use applications that really help me to perform at my ultimate. And that environment is never going to work. And if we don't start talking about it now, we're never going to get to a place where we can talk, understand, and bring digital technologies of the future to bear for our government and our taxpayers. Today, wearable technology is already there, where you can reach in, have your phone on your wrist. It's a little wristband, and you can use your screen on your forearm, and access your stuff. But you show up to work at the government used to that technology, and I hand you a flip phone. And I know nobody gives flip phones anymore, but I am exaggerating the right, circumstance. Sure. But that is kind of where we will be. Tomorrow, a child born tomorrow will not understand the majority of the technology that we're enjoying today, because it will be just like that flip phone when we were younger.
Right.
It is gone. It's like the 8-track tape, the cassette tape, the, right. Sure, the CD, all of those things.
I had a bunch of 8-track tapes in my
you still have
my
them?
Car. No. I don't still have them, but I can remember listening to them in my car back in the day. So can you talk a little bit about collaboration versus communication? What, collaboration seems to me strikes me as a more interactive, more give and take. I mean, I'm gonna let you define it, but communication can be one sided. It doesn't, and communication, is that word enough to reflect the type of engagement you're talking about?
Well, it's a very good point and a very good question, because to me, they are not the same thing. I can do communications in a lot of ways. And the truth is, the RFP we receive today is communications. The truth is, an RFI we receive today is communications. Industry days are communications. Text messages and emails are communications. Verbally, we communicate. But communications then can be one way. When we receive all of the information, we do have an opportunity to ask questions. I'm not trying to insinuate that the system is so far broken that it can never be, that it's not right now and it won't be right in the future. But it does need to change for the future, because technologies only have a limited shelf life. So the difference from that communication, which could be one way, and we're communicating right now, nobody listening has the opportunity to communicate back.
Right.
But even if they did, that would just be a two-way communication. So still not the same as what I believe collaboration to be, is where we get shoulder to shoulder to try to address some of the very complicated problems that this nation faces and that our agencies across government face, with trying to figure out what is the future going to be like for the average citizen, and what is the future going to be like for the average government person who's trying to serve that community the best way it can. And we don't want our citizens to be seeing a government with, we hear people say that all the time now, our government works with antiquated technologies of mainframes and things that aren't appropriate even for today's environment, and a very difficult job it is to switch into the digital future with cloud and other services provided through digital technologies. And we're really only at the tip of the iceberg of all of those things. So collaboration is when we're going to sit down and we're going to bring multiple industry representative partners together, multiple government agencies together, and sit down around the table to say, how can we approach the future? How can we bring the technologies of the future to bear for the government? And then where are we going to put all that? The data of tomorrow is going to be – the data of today we think is incredible. Well, the data of tomorrow is going to be super incredible, where we have access to everything from everything about weather to everything about every street camera, traffic light, car that will be driving itself up and down the road. All of that technology and all the data for all of those things is going to have to be put somewhere, and we're going to have to secure it, and we're going to have an infrastructure to support it. We're going to have people that can access it. And if we don't start talking about that, we're going to end up in a place where we're saying, how did we get here?
Well, you know, Mike, right now we have to communicate a commercial break. So right now we have to take that break. My guest today is Mike Pullen. He is a director within strategic operations at CGI Federal. And we're talking about communication, collaboration, the way forward, and government and industry working together to solve the problems of the American people and meet agency missions. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mike Pullen. He's director within strategic operations at CGI Federal, responsible for CGI's GWACs and IDIQ contract portfolio. And we're talking about, we're having a Mythbusters discussion, using that term once again, back from 2011 when Dan Gordon issued the OFPP memo on Mythbusters and the importance of communication, collaboration between government and industry. So, you know, Mike, can you talk a little bit more? We started to talk about the distinction between communication and collaboration. From your perspective, what are some of the key aspects of collaboration that you see going on right now and that or things government should be doing more of?
Well, as we were saying before the break, you know, the huge difference there in collaboration is not just where we've been. And a lot of the forms of communication in both directions are simply that. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, getting that into a shoulder-to-shoulder relationship to solve some of these significant issues that we're going to have going into the future is really going to take just that. How do we do that? I think what we really need to do is move a little bit away in a temporary fashion in our research portion of identifying what we're going to do and bring people together around the table, bring numerous industry representatives in, bring numerous government representatives in, and sit down around that table and say, here's the problem before us. Let's figure out a good approach to it before we go out and try to procure something to solve that problem, to address all the aspects of that problem, to try to uncover the unknowns. Everybody sits and they don't know what they don't know on both sides of the table, but yet what I don't know doesn't mean that you don't know it. And if we sit down to try to work through some of those problems together, I think we can do it. There's a lot we're going to have to do to get to a place like that, because one of the things that I think has deteriorated over the years is that trust between industry and government. For industry to be a trusted advisor to the government agency who's really out there striving to get their mission complete, and we have a lot of oversight in the process and within our policies. Mainly that oversight is there to make sure we have a fair approach to procuring those services. There's no limitation in that process, in the research part, to communicating and collaborating. And we need to move from communication to collaboration, meaning that we put an issue out on the table, not through paper question and answer, which is all trying to dig into specifics that were written on a piece of paper. But before that gets written, how do we want to approach this particular problem? Now in the future, we're going to work on disconnected mobile devices within the federal government. And how do we protect that? So let's bring experts from around industry that have the latest procedures, the latest best practices in cybersecurity, and form a panel that has both sides. We form a lot of panels, and especially on the government side, we form a lot of panels to do interagency collaboration, and they talk amongst themselves, and then they seek pockets of communications with industry rather than everybody getting around the table as a consolidated panel to bring together the problem-solving skills on solving some of those issues. It won't be easy, but we've got to start thinking of new approaches to make that happen. And I think the biggest thing there would be around that trust factor, that they can be trusted not to go back to leverage competitive intelligence to get a better position on a bid, to figure out some way to charge more for the same thing or something else. It's a true trusted relationship like we have amongst each other as individuals. We need that to move that into organizations.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the flip side of that, I think, is if it's an open or transparent process, the concerns about, you know, competitive advantage, I think, are addressed, right? If you have an open process or a process where folks have access to the information that form the basis of some discussion about a way forward for a particular approach to meeting, a requirement, that access to the information, sort of drives a level playing field to the extent that's a concern. So you engender trust, I think, through that transparency.
You do. And there's a time for the common discussion about the general approach. Then there's a time for bringing the secret sauce to the table. And from industry's perspective and even government's perspective, no one should bring their secret sauce to the table and share it with all of their competitors.
No one will. Either.
And
right.
No one will.
Yeah.
And yet we have to understand that. So we have to take an approach that first gets the general principles together out and understand generally where we're going, and then also provide an opportunity for the individualized sharing of the secret sauce to make that thing happen in the most appropriate way. And I think everybody kind of knows where those lines are about what is a unique discriminator for something that I at CGI would provide to help the government in its move to a new digital world that one of my competitors would offer in the same round. So there's a time for bringing everybody together, I think, and then there's a time for those individual dialogues to say, and we have to trust the individual dialogues where it gets scarier. So that's when we cross over to say, well, I don't want someone telling something else that I can't hear, because I want to be able to be best positioned for that procurement. But we have to trust that process, and I've got to think that I'm putting the best thought, the best direction, the best practices, and the best of the talents and ability that I can bring to the table to help solve some of those problems. And I probably will have to have that in a little bit more private conversation, and my competitor will have to have one in a private conversation, because we all have different views that on how some of these things can be accomplished and in a best manner. And then we've got to be good stewards of what we're driving with when we bring that good solution to the table. We've got to be able to say when it's right, when it's wrong, when it needs to change, and when it needs to pivot to a different direction, because that's really the way all of these things truly work. When you get digging into the technologies of the future, they just don't pop out of the easy bake oven. We've got to put them together. There's going to be failures. Some of our greatest successes have come from our greatest failures in this world. The one that pops straight into my mind, one of the greatest failures of all time in the space program, was when a company was trying to develop superglue for satellites. And that superglue, when they got it done, wouldn't hold anything. Everybody knows it today as the sticky stuff on the back of your Post-it notes. And it holds your Post-it note on the table, leaves no residue. And yet that was a huge failure from early part where 3M was trying to develop superglue. So sometimes our greatest successes come from what are perceived to be some of the greatest failures.
So when you're talking about, just to focus on that, it seems to me, in listening to your description of collaboration, a lot of this collaboration is when the government really knows it has something that it needs to acquire, let's say, for purposes of supporting agency mission, and it has a sense of what its requirements are, but it needs to, at that point, engage with industry to better figure out the way forward, to have a better, but I mean, it seems to me part of this collaboration is learning from industry what's technologically capable in the IT world, what's out there in the marketplace, and understanding capabilities. The flip side is industry having a better understanding of, even though it's already written on paper, let's say potentially a draft RFP, but really what are the goals of the agency, and I think that exchange could leads to, trying to figure out, you know, there could be suggestions about how to, you know, to open up the RFP to additional potential solutions. It could have all kinds of benefits. Is that sort of that pre-RFP phase when you're trying to, which is what Dan Gordon was focusing a lot on in the Mythbusters memo?
Well, yes, it is. And that's really the scenario we've been discussing. But the truth is collaboration in this doesn't end there. It really needs to be in all aspects of the project, from what we've been talking about in kind of a pre-solicitation world before you go out with requirements to get people to respond to it. Absolutely essential.
Hey, Mike,
there.
Hold that thought. We're already up at the next break. My guest today is Mike Pullen. He is a director within strategic operations at CGI Federal. And when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about that ongoing, holistic communication across the, quote, transaction, for lack of a better word. Maybe I'm putting words in Mike's mouth right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking about that a little bit more. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mike Pullen. He is a director within strategic operations at CGI Federal. Mike's responsibilities include the CGI's GWACS and its IDIQ contract portfolio. And Mike, when we took the break, you were about to talk about the importance of, I guess, communication / collaboration throughout the transaction, the process. Please continue.
Sure. You know, just before we left, we had been using the example pre-solicitation and in requirements development before the government goes out with their requirements. But the truth is, it's actually more essential once those requirements have been awarded to a contractor to perform that you continue the collaboration and the dialogue and continue really in the building of that trusted relationship and being the trusted advisor. As a industry partner, we should always be prepared to say, you should fire me because I can't do that, or we're going the wrong direction, and I'm not the right guy for you. But when I say it in that bold of a term, is to really say, to be willing to, I'm going to stop this because I can't go any further and I'm not the right person to make this happen. Or back off to say, we need to take on a different approach. It's time to pivot to a new view on how we're going to approach this, because either the times have changed, the environment has changed, the people have changed, and we need to really move in a right direction to make this successful for all of us. Because the truth is, if the project's not successful and the program's not successful, neither party ends up being successful in that. And we have to be willing to sometimes swallow our pride and say, we've got to go somewhere else with this. And not one of the things we've seen often is continuing with a bad approach, thinking that bad approach is somehow going to miraculously get better, but we're going to keep moving forward with it. In today's environment for software development, for professional services, performing different things, we have to be flexible. In the development world, everybody everywhere is talking about agile development. And that is introducing that flexibility into the way we approach software development. So if we're going to fail, we fail early and often and get past that to move to what is right. And so it's even more important and absolutely critical to have that collaboration and beyond communication. Just talking is one thing. Digging in and together solving those problems in our programs and during execution. And the truth is, all the way through to closeout. When we get closing out a particular project or transitioning that project over to someone else, working together to make that happen smoothly and effectively is extremely important as well. We all sometimes need to face up to life that these things happen in life. We need to adjust to them as they come before us. And we sit down and view the situation. What is the best way to support my agency? What is the best way to support my government? What is the best way to support me as an American taxpayer? And how can we make this work in a manner that's going to make everyone successful. So collaboration doesn't just end in the procurement process, and doesn't just, it really, maybe it doesn't even begin in the procurement process. It's in the continuous cycle. And a lot of people have put tags on it of the continuous cycle of process improvement and everything else. But it is really getting in, digging in, and making these things work together. There's a broad spectrum of approaches that may or may not apply. And sometimes when they fail, that's when we definitely got to get to the table and say, all right, here we're in this situation. How do we move forward? How do we get out? And what is the best approach to make that happen?
Right. So it's really, it's not being a situation if you're a trusted advisor. It's not telling people what they want to hear. It's telling them what they need to hear.
Absolutely. Right? And that's, I think, oftentimes the fear is that I'm going to tell this person, it's the emperor's new clothes story all over again.
Right.
Instead of telling them what he needed to hear, we would go and tell them what they want to hear. And that has never been, and probably never will be in the future, a successful approach.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about when you've done a lot to foster collaboration through, community action groups with NITAC program, working on the SIGs with some of the GSA programs, so that your actions, your words and actions, coalesce and are consistent. But in working in all those areas and trying to create those bridges, what do you see as some of the barriers to this collaboration? And after you identify the barriers, are there strategies for overcoming those that you have utilized, or you see others utilizing, or things that we need to think about?
Well, that's a real good question. I'll start with...
It's like two questions. I apologize.
I think it was three in there. But
yeah, it might be four. I don't know.
Let's start with the first one.
It's a compound question.
With the barriers. Well, absolutely there's barriers. And I would summarize the primary barrier in my mind as fear. And it's fear on the industry side and fear on the government side. On the government side, they're fearful of oversight. They're fearful of protests. Fearful of GAO coming back and saying you have done something wrong. Some other oversight for management oversight to on their approach. And so the easier way to handle things is just be quiet and not say anything. And then no one can say, I divulged the wrong thing. So I think there's a lot of fear there. On the industry side, I think fear is the same an appropriate word for the primary barrier there as well. Fear of telling that government agency or client that they don't have any clothes on, that something's wrong, and they will then look at them adversely when making their award to say you have a fundamental flaw both in your process and in your approach in some sense would be a primary industry fear. We've all probably had the circumstance where we've heard that give me what I've asked for and only what I've asked for. But then when you've asked for something silly, now I've got no approach to go back and say, are you sure you really want what you say you want? And because I don't think it's going to get you what you really need. And it's very hard to have those conversations in that environment at that point. So it is the fear
on the industry side too, the fear of somehow compromising your secret sauce and
absolutely the fear of divulging what makes you different than the next guy. There are in this environment in the government, there's over 3,000 IDIQ contracts for the purchase of IT services. There's thousands of industry organizations and companies out there trying to compete for a lot of these requirements, and it is on the top of everybody's mind. We've got to do something to differentiate ourselves from the guy standing right next to us who says he can do absolutely the same thing. And so when you have 1,000 brands in the market trying to deliver the same thing, you've got to figure out some way to do it. So that's a tremendous fear for folks. And then how far do you go?
Do you think the number of those, that explosion and the number of IDIQs, that actually also hinders collaboration, communication? I mean, that takes a lot of energy on a part of all the companies and the government folks if you got that many contracts going on all at once.
Well, Dan Gordon also started, when he started his Mythbusters campaign, started to explore this idea of the number of IDIQ contracts that were available in the marketplace to provide the same service, and then trying to figure out some way to bring that number down to a more reasonable and manageable number. Absolutely, the number of IDIQ contracts in the marketplace is a barrier to communication, but if you think about it too, it's also a division amongst the competition. There's no way that every company in the marketplace can have every one of those IDIQs, because each one costs that company anywhere from a couple hundred thousand dollars to maybe as much as $1 million to get onto that IDIQ in the first place. There are no cost to the government, but it does boil back into the overhead that gets charged back to government eventually somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of cost involved in both sides. It's going to cost the government hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to put those in place. It's going to cost the industry hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to respond to them and get them. And yet some have 10 contract holders, some have 50 contract holders, some widespread IDIQs may have thousands of IDIQ holders. And then where do you go in the marketplace to get these? And many of them, the funny thing that we saw when we looked across the marketplace at the IT marketplace, thousands of IDIQ contracts, only hundreds of vendors, and many of those thousands boiled down to the same 50 or 60 companies holding all of those same contracts. So the only thing that was different was the contract.
The math isn't good.
Math was not good on that one.
Well, Mike, we do have to take our last break. My guest today is Mike Pullen. He's a director within strategic operations at CGI Federal. We're talking about communication, collaboration, and a little contract duplication right there. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the current state of communication in the procurement system. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mike Pullen. Mike is Director, Strategic Operations at CGI Federal. His portfolio includes CGI's GWACs and IDIQ contracts, serving the federal customer. So, Mike, you know, we've talked a lot about collaboration. What is it? What isn't it? I guess, and barriers to it. Can you talk a little bit about some of the progress that you've seen over the last 2 or 3 years? You know, we've cited 2 or 3 times, both of us, you know, Dan Gordon's Mythbusters memo about the importance of communication, especially around requirements development and bringing industry expertise to bear on behalf of the government. Can you talk about where you've seen some success in, you know, that industry government collaboration?
Well, absolutely. You know, Dan Gordon did get that started to talk both about the contract proliferation that we talked about at the end of the last break, and Mythbusters. And the thing that strikes it to be important is that Joe Jordan and Ann Rung all continued with those lines of thought to try to continue those series and really put some strength behind them. So in the last several years, we've seen a lot of different things popping up to help facilitate that collaboration, those collaboration efforts for many of the federal-wide GWAC contracts, such as GSA Alliant, NITAC COSP3, GSA Oasis. Many of these contracts have special interest groups that help to facilitate open collaboration between industry and government. I serve on within all of those communities to help bring that collaboration. We've seen things change in the way they promote and do business development. We've seen a lot of new uses of requests for information, a lot of new uses for industry days, pre-proposal conferences, and a lot of activity around trying to make just that happen, the communication, the awareness. I think we still have a ways to go. I think in order to better prepare for requirements, we need to be able to organizations to be more free to share their upcoming opportunities, their upcoming requirements, industry to be able to provide feedback into those requirements, get more ahead of the curve in a lot of areas instead of being reactive, being proactive in our approach to making both the communications and the collaboration occur in the process. And then we need to continue that in execution all the way to the end of some of the life of some of these projects. The environment for which the government operates today is going to be practically unrecognizable 15 years from now, from
maybe
what it is.
Maybe even three or four.
Even three or four. I mean, it really is there. We're at the edge of what we call a digital transformation. Everything is going to move off of the mainframe systems and move into a more open digital environment. We're going to see more of our infrastructure and infrastructure services provided out of the cloud. We're going to see more services.
Everything as a service.
Everything available to us on a mobile device. And this isn't going to be easy to get there. We were going to have to do a lot of planning and a lot of preparation. We talk a lot about innovation when we talk into government and especially around IT. But the truth is the government is generally at the stage of modernization rather than innovation. There's an inherent large amount of risk involved in innovation, coming out with the things that hadn't existed before in the environment and being a part of that. And I don't know where the line should be drawn, but I don't know how far into innovation the government truly should be. But they certainly should be at the stage of modernization and having modern technologies and modern capabilities and modern digital products for the federal workforce to leverage as they go to do their day-to-day jobs. I'm old, so I remember when we thought the computer was going to solve all of our problems. And someday in the future, and as we see even today, is solving a lot of our problems with the technologies that we have available to us. We are a push-button society now, and we weren't just 30 years ago. And 30 years from now, we probably won't have to push any buttons because that's evidently too much effort on behalf of a human is to push a button. So we'll have to speak to the computer and it will speak back to us. And yet how will we get
really,
that?
Then it would be like Star Trek.
Well, we will be like Star Trek. We'll get there.
We're getting there.
I think there's actually a Discovery Channel television show about the technology of Star Trek and where it is today. Now, I don't know how often the Star Trek crew is being chased by a can opener anymore, but it is quite interesting to see the amount of technology that was was discussed in there that is reality today.
Sure. So just looking at places where you see improvements in communication, the ones that I'm pretty familiar with, I think, are good examples. Is the OASIS. Development of OASIS and then the eventually execution of it in terms of the award, and now they're into, task orders. And also the Alliant, which is ongoing right now, obviously, right? But it seems to me there's a couple examples of just ongoing communication. Some folks would say there was almost too much communication in that case, but I don't know if there is such a thing. Would you share the view that those are a couple of pretty good examples?
I actually do share the view that those are good examples and good approaches. The thing that's always going to be a challenge is everything's not going to be good for everybody.
Right.
And especially when we bring, the secret sauce is one element of an organization's competitive landscape, the competitors and the ranking and stacking and ability is another. There's a whole pocket of businesses out there that are in a limbo land between small business that have set aside opportunities and direct government focus and the large businesses that are out in the marketplace. There's a group in between that doesn't get a lot of focus, but the trouble is all the large businesses today were small at one time when they started, and they made the leap for the tweeners, the people in between the two groups that we always see. But there's a place for all of that, and one of the things that we need in the way of collaboration is us as industry. And because I'm on the industry side, I'm going to speak for that. We need to collaborate amongst ourselves better, partner better on opportunities, work with small and medium-sized businesses to bring the capabilities to bear in full, which we do. At CGI, we have hundreds of partners that we work with each and every day. The one thing, barrier in the marketplace that makes that hard is that if we're a prime contractor on a particular opportunity and I have 20 small businesses that are supporting me when I support the government sees no reality of the small business participation that occurred in that transaction. If they took that very same opportunity in the manner that they approach it today and said, we're going to make that a small business set aside, and I'm going to put it over here and award it to a small business, the result of that particular transaction would be the one small business gets a good significant chunk of work. The 15, 20, or 30 small businesses that I had on my team now don't have work, and they're suffering. That doesn't help me. It doesn't help the government. It doesn't help my small business partners. It doesn't help us as industry collaborate together to bring the right things to government to make things happen. And there has been some change, legislative changes to bring recognition to that segment of the marketplace. However, our systems haven't caught up with it so that we can recognize that in a report and agencies can get credit for it.
Yeah, that's an area that's always historically been, the emphasis on, prime contract dollars for small businesses, I think, at the expense, or my interpretation of what goes on out there, at the expense of, that small, a dollar's a dollar going to a small business, right? And those opportunities. I also do think that is an interesting dynamic and issue for those companies who are other than small, but have possibly just graduated, and the challenges they face. And they need collaboration within industry probably more than anybody else, to your point, when you talk about that group. I want to thank my guest today, Mike Pullen. Mike is Director of Strategic Operations at CGI Federal. His responsibilities include the IT GWACs and IDIQ contracts, serving government customers across the federal marketplace. And Mike, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Roger. It's been a great pleasure being here today.
And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.